بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are in the last few nights, five nights of Ramadan, inshallah. Hopefully we haven't missed Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr has a very simple selling line. All of you, mashallah, living in this capitalist world should know this. Allah says, if I give you give me one, I'll give you 1,000. Would any of us say no to that deal? Where the return is 1,000% instantaneously. Some of you will say, well, it's one night for 1,000 months. Where's the ratio? The truth is, when do we find Laylatul Qadr? In the beginning of the month or the end? So in order to receive Laylatul Qadr, what do we need to do? Spend? What? The whole month in ibadah. So Allah says, in exchange for 1 month of ibadah, I'll give you how many? More than 1,000. That's how you do the ratio. I mean, you have to spend some time every night in this month of Ramadan. And then at the end, Allah rewards you with Laylatul Qadr. And when He gives you Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. Okay. Now this is Allah's deal. You give Allah one, He gives you 1,000. Very simple investment. But you do have to work just a little bit. Although the fast along, may Allah help us and reward us and accept whatever we've done for His sake and give us barakah, nur and ajr and everything else that comes along with it. But for this little bit of change in our time, in our schedule, in our way of thinking, in our life, in exchange for 1 month of ibadah, at the end of which it climaxes with Laylatul Qadr, Allah says 1,000. This is how the Sahaba saw it. That they were, as some of you know, upset when the Prophet ﷺ said that people before us, the Banu Israel, they would live for 200, 300 years, mashallah. And most of them would spend most of their time in ibadah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba. The Sahaba were kind of depressed. Ya Rasulullah, you've already predicted that our lives will be between 60 and 70. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ 1400 years ago said that the average life of the people of this ummah will be between 60 and 70. 1400 years ago when the fatality rate, you would die in the 20s and 30s very easily. But through his dua, this ummah lives much longer than others through the dua of the Prophet. Since that time, mashallah. And you read some of the stories of the Sahaba, how long they lived, some of the stories of the Tabi'een, how long they lived, and when you study this ilmur rijal, you know, the science of studying the narrators of hadith, you will see that they lived for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. SubhanAllah, mashallah. This is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the barakah and the tawassul and the sadaqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he informed the Sahaba that they will live between 60 and 70 years on average. Okay. And what a civilization. You can say that for 1400 years we've maintained this average through Allah's fadl. Right. So when they heard that the Prophet ﷺ said, they live for 200, 300 years. And they spent their time in ibadah. They said, what is this? We're getting a raw deal here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. That if you get laylatul qadr, Allah says, in one night you will reap the ibadah of 84 years. Approximately 1,000 months. And if you get it one night, subhanAllah, okay, you're done. But you don't know when you get it. So you continue. So you might get it twice, or thrice, or four times, or five times, or 10 years, or 15 years. And for those pious people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His fadl upon, they see it every year. So how many months of ibadah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the angels are getting tired of writing? Well, what is this man here? This human. Isn't he mortal? That he doesn't let us stop writing the rewards of his ibadat. So Laylatul Qadr is a very blessed night. In this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He reveals the whole Quran. SubhanAllah. So there's another ayah where Allah says, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran is revealed. And in this ayah Allah says, in this night, which occurs in Ramadan, the whole Quran is revealed. Once. So whoever finds this night through dua and dhikr and ibadat and everything else, he will be receiving the nur and the ajr of the whole Quran being revealed on him or her. This is when the Quran is now being revealed. When the Quran is revealed, subhanAllah, thousands and thousands of angels accompany every ayah of the Quran, as is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that sometimes the Sahaba would recite an ayah and the ayah would be raised to the heavens by hundreds and thousands of angels because of their sincerity. So likewise, when ayat and verses will be revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be escorted down from the heavens with Jibreel alayhi salam at the point. And then that ayah would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the other world. Okay, the spiritual world, the world of the malakut and the world of the angels, where only the anbiya and some of the pious people see that. So when these angels come down with every ayah of the Quran in Laylatul Qadr, can you imagine the impact that nur has on the person receiving Laylatul Qadr? This is how the predecessors saw this surah. SubhanAllah. In one night, Allah sends down the whole Quran. And when the Quran is being revealed, everything comes down. What comes down? تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ. The angels come down. It's a natural phenomenon. There's the cause and there's the effect. The cause is what? The Quran coming down. What is now the effect? The angels come down and the Ruh and Jibreel Islam come down also with the Quran being revealed. And then when the Quran is revealed, what happens? Min kulli amr. With every command. Because every ayah has a command. Just as every surah has a name, the mufassirun have tried their best to name every ayah. That was their scholarship. Right? We don't know too many names of the surahs. Never mind the names of each ayah. You know, Ayatul Kursi? Who do you think named this ayah? Ayatul Shifa? The ayat of cure and healing? Who do you think named this ayat? Ayatul Saif? Who named these ayat? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. Right? They named these ayat and these surahs. So now, when every surah has a name, and every ayah has a name, that means that every ayah has a hukum, has an amr, has a command, has an effect. And when all of this comes down in a condensed form onto a person's mind and heart and spirit and conscience, subconscious, in one grand night, he then stores it for how long? For more than 84 months, 84 years. More than 1,000 months. So now, when you have a congregation of 10,000 awliya of Allah, or 100,000 sahaba, or 200,000 tabi'in, and 300,000 tabi tabi'in, who now receive Laylatul Qadr once in Ramadan, Can you imagine the nur they have now stored in their minds and their brains? See how enlightenment comes to the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how great visionaries they were. See how they predicted and forecasted what would happen to the ummah afterwards. And with this nur and this vision, they were able to plan. Is the thing about planning? That we have now planning, 1 year plan and 5 year plan and 10 year plan, and Allah only knows how many other plans there are. Conspiracy plans in the world for the next 100 years. When you receive Laylatul Qadr, you'll see within you the foresight and the insight for 1,000 months. And it is without fail. Without fail. Now, which school do you need to go to? Which degree do you need? You need the school of Ibadah, and you need the degree of Laylatul Qadr. That's where you find this. It's not found outside of this. Meaning worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him, praying in front of Him, making dua, supplicating, being humble, crying, confessing in front of Him, and saying to Him, we need you, etc. So all of this is the university which will deliver you this product, this degree called Laylatul Qadr. And when does that occur? At the end of Ramadan. Not in the beginning. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that you must seek Laylatul Qadr when? Right at the end of Ramadan, the last 10 days, and even then, the odd nights. So after you spend a whole month of fasting, a whole month of deliberation, a whole month of ibadah and dua and dhikr and reciting the Qur'an, then you come to your climax, then you are ready to receive the whole Qur'an in one night. So when you summarize this, and then you look at some of the statements of the Sahaba and the other great pious followers that followed them, you see that they had an amazing insight into how this is done. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he loved the Qur'an. Simply loved the Qur'an. As he was assassinated, he was reciting the Qur'an. MashaAllah, reciting the Qur'an. People are killing him and he's reciting the Qur'an. And the bloodstains are still there. You can still see the bloodstains on the Mus'haf of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So now, they say, the Sahaba say, that sometimes Uthman would recite the whole Qur'an in one night. How long? One night. Now you're sitting there doing the math calculation. It takes me one para. How long? 20 minutes. Now this doesn't add up. I'll barely get 10 done. And he read the whole Qur'an one night? SubhanAllah, this is incredible. In fact, it's fake. As I mentioned before, this ummah believes in something called barakah. You know the barakah? Shah Ismail Shaheed, rahimahullah, some of you may have heard this before, who is the great grandson of Shah Waliullah, rahimahullah. He's a master scholar. He lived in Delhi. At that time, there was one smart Alec Hindu who came and challenged all the Muslims of Delhi that if you prove to me you can read the Quran in a certain number of hours, then I will accept Islam, but from memory, not from your iPhone. Meaning, as we're supposed to do in Tarawih, not use a mushaf behind the imam where you're cheating. You're giving him a correction, and you're cheating. You look at the mushaf and you're cheating, and you're telling the imam, I can correct you. That, in our terminology, is called cheating. It's not a fatwa, it's called cheating. Right. So now, this person says, you must recite from memory. So they say, okay, subhanAllah. So they called Shah Ismail Shaheed. And he said, okay, what does he want? He said, he wants us, or some of us, to recite the Quran from memory. He said, well, we have thousands of hafaz. Why do you need me? So he's given a time limit. So he's given a time limit. So what's the time limit at this time? 3 or 4 hours. He says, oh, never mind. Tell him that meet me in Jama Masjid, the big Jama Masjid in Delhi, mashallah, after Asr. So you know the Hanafi Asr is when? When is the Hanafi Asr? Not after Zuhr, but towards Maghrib. Right? The time for Hanafi Asr is very, very late with this hikmah. It's very late, the latest possible, meaning 1.5 hours before sunset. So he's telling, he's Hanafi. The Delhi Masjid, so Hanafi, mashallah. So he says, that meet me after Asr in Jama Masjid. So he goes there, and every Muslim is baffled. Every Muslim is, how is he going to read the Quran in 1.5 hours? And that from memory. So he's a wali of Allah. He's a friend of Allah. He probably found a little qadr every year. Right? So he starts after Asr. And Jama Masjid is jam-packed. If you've seen the courtyard of Jama Masjid, subhanAllah, you can get thousands of people in the courtyard. He's sitting there and he's reciting the Quran. He starts with Surah Fatiha and Baqarah, and then before the Maghrib Adhan comes, he's finished with Nas. That's as if time stood still. Yeah. And this is recorded in our history. You might say, oh, this is incredible. No, it's not incredible. It is what happens. Why? Because I have seen my own teachers do similar things. In one day, they'll read the whole Quran. In Nafil. Not outside of Nafil. In their salat. So we believe in something called barakah. You know, Uthman radiallahu anhu would recite the whole Quran sometimes when? Once. There's another riwayah in which they say, the sahaba, that once he recited the whole Quran in one rakat. One rakat. And then you come to the time of the tabi'in, Abu Hanifa rahmah. He recited the Quran the whole night. All night. For years, 40 years. His students also say that sometimes the imam will recite the whole Quran in one night. In one night. And sometimes he also would recite the Quran in one rakat. MashaAllah. Right. So when the Quran says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, we have revealed it, meaning the Quran, in the night of power. This is the night of power when you develop the ability to recite the Quran in one night. Don't try it just yet. Calm down. You're not going to get there overnight. It takes years of practice in front of a sheikh. Years of practice. But yes, you may start from tonight or any night and start reciting the Quran at night, and you'll see that the beauty of reciting the Quran or thinking about his meanings and making dua and dhikr and salat on Nabi, it has its own barakah in these special nights of Ramadan and the last 10 days of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is informing us that this is not only there as a reality phenomenon in the other world, this ummah has translated that phenomenon in this world. This ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done what? It has brought down Allah's command of Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr into this world. So they were superhuman beings. They were great people. And it is because of this nur. You understand what nur is? Nur is light. If you turn the lights off here, you won't be able to see. And you might bump into each other, and you might knock down these walls and everything else. When you switch on the light, you can see. The Quran is nur. When you have the Quran, you can see. How far? For years. For decades. For centuries. For generations. And also beyond life. The one human being who is given nur is a Nabi. And this nur allows the Nabi to do what? See beyond life what's happening in the other world. So the Prophet ﷺ is passing by two graves and he says to the Sahaba, these two are being punished. So how does he know they're being punished? That he can hear them. But they're in the other world. So when the Nabi receives nur, what happens to him? He sees beyond everything. That is why we believe in a Nabi. Why do we believe in a Nabi? Because his knowledge and his ilm, his nur, his vision is beyond the abilities of any ordinary human being. Likewise, the Sahaba who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they developed similar abilities through their nur from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Tabi'een through their nur from the Sahaba, they developed similar abilities. So now the four imams, you have these four great imams of Islam in the Sunni madhab of fiqh. What do? They developed the ability to see the usul, the foundational principle of Islam, in such a light that it would be enough for the whole ummah until the day of judgment, where you don't need to change them. They're more than enough. Everything that Islam is corralled within the four madhahib. Why? Because of their nur. People now say, well, we have access to knowledge, they didn't have it. So, Baba, you have information, you don't have nur. It's like putting the information on a chip and saying, I have the Quran memorized. Where? It's on my iPhone. So you have hadith on your iPhone. You think you're Abu Hanifa? You're Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad? No, that has to be here, inside of you, as the famous story Imam Shafi, rahimullah, goes when he was a student, or where he was traveling somewhere and he was robbed with his caravan. And as they came to him, he was still a young person, and he said, what do you have that's worth anything? So I have these books. So now the robber asked him, if I take your books away, what will happen to your knowledge? He said, I already have all of that knowledge here in my heart. You can take the books. Right? So when knowledge is in the heart, you have nur. And this is why we say that the road to becoming a visionary for the ummah is to follow those who came before us who had that nur. And they are the tabi'un. They are the sahaba. They are the anbiya. That is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how does one acquire this nur? There's only one college or university where you do that. That is the college, university of ibadah. No other college will give you this. Why? It doesn't exist. You can go to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton and design everything in the world and make this world work 1,000 times better, mashallah, alhamdulillah, but you will not receive the nur of ibadah. That comes when you are humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make wudu and you bow down and you make sajda and you make dua and you ask Allah for His forgiveness. And when you read the Quran, that's when you get the nur. So all the great people in the past, what did they do? They looked for Laylatul Qadr through ibadah. Why? Because of this surah. Why? Because the sahaba also excelled in that and they competed with each other in this realm of ibadah, so that the other people who will come after them will follow them in this light, in this nur also. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that we reveal the Qur'an, the whole Qur'an in this one night, this ummah has shown itself and the angels and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they're much more worthy than just being theoretical Muslims. They actually do what is needed to be a good Muslim. And that was the past. What's stopping us from doing that now? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our own laziness, our own dishonesty, our own inability to appreciate what this ummah is made of. This ummah is made of visionaries. Now you have 84 years of nur in you and your mind. How will you go wrong? You can't go wrong. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that. This is why all the ulama who came after a certain period of time, the mutakhirun they're called, they always remained firm and they followed the ulama who came before them, because they knew the ulama who came before them, they were better visionaries and they had much more nur than they will ever be able to acquire, and that is why they're called followers. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His fadl, has given us a few more nights. A few more nights to do this. Now, how does one do this in a short period of time? You're tired, right? I'm tired. You have a headache, I have a headache. What are we going to do? So the key is to follow the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is where Aisha has now questioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is paramount. She asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what should I say when there is Laylatul Qadr?" Meaning what? That she would see Laylatul Qadr. Who asked this question? Who would ask such a question? What do I do when I get Laylatul Qadr? Oh, okay. SubhanAllah, very good. You do this. Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma indaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Some riwayat say, Ya Kareem. One dua. I don't mean that you say this the whole time, but whenever it occurs to you, you say this dua, you make this dua, whether it's Arabic or English. The English version would be something like this. Oh Allah, you are very forgiving and very overlooking and full of pardon. You love pardoning people. So pardon me and forgive me because you are the Kareem, you are noble and you are generous. Occasionally, if you are awake for the next few nights, inshallah, as you are sitting down as at your suhoor when you are making dua, as you are reading the Quran, frequently make this dua because this dua came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that even in this night, when we are receiving the nur of the Quran being revealed onto earth, we are going to ask for pardon and forgiveness, and we are going to say we need your forgiveness. And the reason why we are asking you for forgiveness is because you love to forgive. Tuhibbul afwa. Allah loves to pardon. He loves to forgive. But when? When we ask for it. When? When we ask for it. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Allah's rahmah is seeking any excuse to come down upon a believer. So much so that if you fall asleep during your ibadah and you're tired and you take a nap, even that is what? Ibadah. This is how Allah's rahmah is seeking an excuse to come upon a believer. So now when we are vigil and when we are conscious and when we are aware, we make this dua, Allah, you love to forgive and you love to pardon, meaning that we are full of mistakes and sins and faults and blunders, etc. Now we are asking you, fa'afu anna, so forgive us and pardon us. Or you are Kareem. You are noble and you are generous. So this is the adab of the Sahaba, that they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what to do. Even when they would see Laylatul Qadr, they would still ask him. They wouldn't go off on a tangent, oh, I know what to do now. The beauty is always in following instructions. Okay? Following somebody else who's ahead of you in that field. There was no one better in the field of ibadah than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba followed them, and we follow the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. So in this Mubarak night and the last few nights of this blessed month of Ramadan, we must seek Allah's fadl and Allah's pardon and Allah's generosity, not only for us, but for whom? For all people. The whole of humanity. Why? Because Allah's rahmah and forgiveness is universal. We should not limit it to ourselves. One of the greatest forms of ibadah, our scholars of Deoband used to say. You want to know what the scholars of Deoband are? This is who they are. What they used to say? That one of the greatest forms of ibadah, nafil ibadah, is to ask forgiveness for the whole ummah. See how great visionaries they are. Can we do that? Would we have thought of this outside of this? I doubt it. Allah forgive me, give me a good house, give me a good wife, give me a good job, give me good children, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. It's all give me, give me, give me. Which is fine, it's all halal, we should do. Because we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt, we should ask for that. At the same time, Allah is who? Rabbun Nas. He is the Lord of people, all people. He is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. So when we are in front of the Lord of the worlds, who do we ask for? All the worlds, Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib, Rabbul Mashriqain wal Maghribain. Rabbul Mashariq wal Maghrib. He's the Lord of the East and the West, the Lord of the two East and the two West, Lord of all the East and all the West. There's no East, there's no West. He's Rabbul Alameen. He's the Lord of all the world. So when you are making dua in this Mubarak night, then we also should make dua for everybody and everything that needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. This will be a sign that you are following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do every day of his life. His concern was always the ummah. Harisun alaykum. He would fall over for you. Harisun alaykum. Fall over. Bil mu'mineen ra'uf ar-rahim. That he is compassionate with the believers. When you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned yesterday, then follow him in this also. Yes, we ask for our individual needs. We ask for the needs of our fellow family members, our parents, our children, our offspring, our siblings, everybody else, our friends, family members. At the same time, we also ask for the ummah. This will be a sign of our generosity and compassion towards fellow Muslims. We do enough condemning of each other. In this Mubarak month and in these Mubarak nights, we should show some compassion for each other also and ask Allah to forgive all of us. Why? Because He loves to forgive. But some of us, sometimes unfortunately feel, we shouldn't forgive the Ummah. The Ummah is the reason why I'm in this mess in the first place. So no. The ulama say no. That is not Islamic. You must ask for the whole ummah and the whole of mankind. How do you ask for all of mankind? Allah give hidayah and guidance to the whole of mankind. And then forgive them. That's how you ask. Give the whole of mankind hidayah and then forgive them. This is your compassion towards other people. You know, you want to become the green people and save the world. Okay. And love the ecology and the environment and your anti-pollution. Right? This is the best way. To ask Allah to make everybody submit to His will and His command and then forgive them. This is how you're going to save the world. And it actually works. We stop trying. That's the problem. We were there, then we stopped trying. Why? Because of secularism, okay, that came into our blood and our bloodstream. Now we say, it's about buildings, and it's about money, it's about power, it's about military power, it's about this power, hard power and soft power, it's about this ability and that ability, and we forgot who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. There's no power on earth that will give you more benefit than Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr will give you the benefit of 1,000 months. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nobility and His generosity. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us in this night. And we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to worship Him in the night of Laylatul Qadr in such a way that we receive His rahmah, we receive His barakah, we receive His pardon, and we receive everything that we need in order to become eligible in His eyes to enter into Jannah without any hisab and to be under the shade of His throne on the Day of Judgment. And in order for us to enter Jannah with all the prophets and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin, as our parents, our siblings, our children, and our family members, our friends, our teachers and our students, and the whole Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the whole Ummah of other prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya Rahman Rahimin, walhamdulillah.